Good to be with you this morning here at Covenant. I had a lovely drive up from Kitchener this morning. Highways were nice and quiet first thing in the morning. Won't be the same going home, but hey, it's good to be with you. So as John said, my name is Stephen Roy. I serve as a Church Community Relations Associate for MCC. And some of you may be familiar with MCC. Others of you, this might be new to you. So I do want to take some time just to describe a little bit about what MCC is, and then as we go through the morning, we'll share some stories from around the world about MCC's work and ministry. So let's go to the next slide. MCC is a ministry of Anabaptist churches, of which the Be in Christ Church of Canada is one, and we have part of this ministry that we call Mennonite Central Committee. It's really a work of various denominations that come together to share the love and compassion of God in very practical ways as we respond to basic human need and work for peace and justice. And working in 45 different countries around the world, hundreds of projects, many partners around the world. But this is a work of the church in the world today. It's focused on relief and development and peacemaking, and involves a number of Anabaptist groups here in Canada and the U.S. And here in Ontario, and indeed in Canada, we have representatives from our BIC family of churches sitting on the board that help formulate policy and direction and strategy, and then a number of staff, including myself, are part of that BIC family. I came to MCC just under 2 years ago, having spent a career in theological education, leadership, and teaching. And so this is, for me, a very wonderful way of continuing to be involved in the life of the church and ministry, sharing about what God is doing through this work of MCC. And as I share the work, I also get to say thank you to congregations like yours for participating and partnering with MCC in its work. And you've done that in a number of ways over the years. You've given financially, you've collected things for relief kits and school kits, you've sponsored refugees. And all those things together are a wonderful way of being connected and engaged with the work of MCC. So I do want to say thank you, not only for the opportunity to share together today, but for your partnership in this work that we do together, expressing in very practical ways the love and compassion of God. So as we're here today, this morning, I want to think with you from the scriptures, and we want to read together from Isaiah chapter 58. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only 14 verses, but I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud, don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious, they come to the temple every day. They seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves and you don't even notice it. I will tell you why, I respond. It's because you're fasting to please yourselves. Even when you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourself with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free. Remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. Do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn. Your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here. He will come quickly. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out of the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry, restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of God to us this morning. Well, after a recent appointment, I was sent by my doctor for a blood test. And as many of you have done that, part of the preparation for a blood test is to fast. And so you refrain from the consumption of food or drink for a period of hours before you have that test. And so I did that. It was scheduled for first thing in the morning, so after supper the night before, I didn't eat or drink anything, although I did have a drink of water, which I think was permitted, but didn't have anything to eat before I went for my blood test. I have to say that fasting hasn't really been part of my spiritual life to a great extent. I have fasted. I've been part of groups that have taken time to pray together, to seek God, and we've done that by giving up a meal together, and we've filled the time we would have spent eating with praying and fasting. But in terms of a regular discipline as my and part of my life, I can't say that I have given a lot of attention to fasting. And some of you may have done that as we have gone through Lent this year. There's always an encouragement in some circles to give something up for Lent in order to devote that time to your relationship with God. And maybe some of you did that and fasted. Roman Catholics continue to fast on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, and in other traditions, people give themselves over to fasting. Maybe you're still in the month of Ramadan, a Muslim month of fasting, when people fast until the end of the day and the evening comes, and then they can break their fast and consume food. But fasting is a feature not only of Christian life and faith, but many other religions as well. And it's certainly part of what we read about in the scriptures. Jesus fasts. At the beginning of his ministry, he has that period of 40 days in the wilderness. He's tempted by Satan, and he refrains from the consumption of food or drink during that time. It's an extraordinary long period. I think those with understanding of how the human body functions will tell you can't really go 40 days without consuming food or drink and not do yourself significant damage, if not in lead to your death. But Jesus has this provision from God. He goes through this period of 40 days. He also teaches about fasting. When we read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, when you fast, and he gives some instructions. Some interpret his words, when you fast, as an instruction that Jesus expects his followers to fast. But you will not find a commandment for Christians to fast in the New Testament. There are evidences, we'll come to that, of the disciples and the early church fasting, but there is no specific command. But Jesus says, if you fast, don't draw attention to yourself. Because the practice of religious devotions has the way in it of drawing attention to ourselves. We want to say, I'm doing this. Look at me, how spiritual I am. I'm fasting. And Jesus says, no, don't draw attention to yourself. Appear normal. Just go about your business as you would normally. John the Baptist and his disciples fast. In fact, there's an interesting conversation where some of the disciples of John come to Jesus and say, we've got a question. We're wondering why you and your disciples don't fast. We do, the Pharisees do, and we're a little confused why you don't fast. And Jesus responds by saying, the time for fasting will come when the groom will be taken away from them. In the life of the early church, there's more emphasis on the believers coming together and eating rather than fasting, but fasting still appears when Paul and Barnabas are commissioned into mission in Acts chapter 13. And then in Acts chapter 14, when Paul comes back to the church communities that have been founded as a result of his apostolic preaching, there's times of fasting and prayer as leaders are appointed in those communities. When you go back into the Old Testament, we discover that fasting is a feature in the life of the nation of Israel. There's a national fast day on the Day of Atonement. The people of Israel are to fast in order to focus their attention on God. And as time goes on, other days are added to that one day. And certainly, as you read through your Old Testament, you'll discover incidents of fasting by individuals and whole communities, indeed the nation of Israel and other nations, as they seek God, as they pray, as they confess their sin, as they express anger and grief, as they seek God's guidance and humble themselves before God. And here in our text in Isaiah chapter 58, God draws a contrast between the practice of fasting that is going on at this time and the marks of true devotion. The passage begins with God saying to Isaiah the prophet, shout this message with a voice as loud as a trumpet blast. God, you get the sense God wants to get the attention of his people. And the message that God wants to convey through the prophet is that he isn't terribly impressed by their religious devotions. They're giving lots of attention to the practice of their faith. They're going to the temple every day. They listen to the law being read. They are practicing fasting, but they've missed something very important. That is a vital living relationship with God. In fact, they may make a show of their devotion as a means of getting God to act on their behalf. And in fact, they're a little confused. We're doing all this, God, and you don't seem to be impressed. You don't even notice all that we've done in order to show you how pious and religious we are. And God says to them in verse 3, you're living for yourselves, even when you fast. You keep on oppressing those who work for you. You keep on fighting and quarreling. And while these things are present in your life, what good is fasting? And God describes them as going through the motions of devotion. They bow their heads like blades of grass in the wind. They dress themselves in sackcloth and ashes. But their actual lives are divorced from the piety they seek to display. And the form and substance of their religious devotion are two very different things. And the question comes at the end of verse 5, do you really think this is going to please God? All this practice of faith, you're going to the temple, reading your Bibles, practicing fasting, do you think that's going to impress God? And the answer, of course, is no. Ivan Friesen, writing in the Believer's Church Bible Commentary in Isaiah, notes, what genuine fasting looks like is not the pursuit of self-interest, but the concern for the well-being of others. And what God does in this passage is speak through the prophet Isaiah to describe the marks of true fasting that he wants to see in the life of his people. And Ivan Friesen goes on to note that the Bible exhibits a principle that a person's relationship to others reveals that person's relationship to God. And what I want to do this morning is just go through these marks of fasting that are mentioned in Isaiah 58 and connect them to the work of MCC. So let's bring the slides back up. The first thing that comes up is the kind of fasting God calls us to is to free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Let's go to the next slide. The person you see here is Isa Ibombolo. He's an MCC staff member. He works in Malawi and Zambia in Africa, and he is our peace-building coordinator for those two countries. And you see him here pictured doing some training with prison officers from the Malawi Prison Service, taken just over a year ago, on principles of restorative justice. The kind of fasting God calls us to is to free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Well, MCC works with people in prison and people who have been released from prison. And in Zambia and Malawi and many other places, MCC runs peace clubs that are part of the life of activity in prisons. And people can go to the peace clubs and begin to learn principles of resolving conflicts in their own life and helping grow principles and understanding of how to develop good, healthy relationships. And ISA helps run those peace clubs in the prisons. And the peace clubs also help prisoners with interpersonal relationships and get them to a place where they understand how to build relationships and actually push them to a place where they are actively involved in restoring relationships with those that they have offended and that have caused them to be in prison. And this is part of a project that creates a restorative justice and peace-building unit in each prison in those two countries. And the aim is to build peace, to restore relationships among participants, and help contribute efforts to integrate prisoners into their communities once they are released. And ISA is a graduate of the Peace and Conflict Studies program at Conrad Grebel University College, which is part of the University of Waterloo. He was a student there a number of years ago and now works with MCC in Malawi and Zambia. And in fact, he was recognized just last month at an alumni event and was awarded a particular Distinguished Alumni Service Award for his work in peace building. MCC also works with those who have been released from prison here in Ontario through a program called Circles of Support and Accountability. And teams of volunteers and staff supported by professionals meet with men and women with sexual histories of offending to hold them accountable once they are released from prison and as they seek to reintegrate into community. And you can imagine how challenging that must be, not just for the individual, but for a community to have somebody with that kind of background living in their community. And Circles of Support and Accountability comes around such persons and help them as they reintegrate. And the evidence that's been gathered through this program demonstrates that there is a significant reduction in the levels of reoffending of people who are supported in this kind of program, a 71% overall reduction compared with others. And that's a significant impact for people who are vulnerable, who've got challenging histories, and who are seeking to live normally in a community. And you can imagine how challenging that must be. God calls his people through Isaiah to free those who are wrongly imprisoned, but he also calls them to stop oppressing those who work for you, to treat them fairly, to give them what they earn. Let's go to the next slide. Being a good boss is part of being a disciple of Jesus, and God calls his people to stop oppressing those who work for you, to treat them fairly, to give them what they earn. And one of the ways in which Mennonite Central Committee does that is to be a living wage employer. Maybe you're familiar with the idea of minimum wage, which is a wage rate that the province sets, that if you're employed, you will get no less than that amount. But a living wage takes that beyond and says in each community, we want to set a level of wage where a person can live, pay their bills, and be able to live at a level where their needs are met and they can earn enough in order to live comfortably. And MCC has been a living wage employer and has worked with others to create a living wage network here in Ontario and has encouraged hundreds of employers to seek living wage certification. But MCC also puts that principle, that desire to treat people fairly in the workplace to a different level by employing people in a program called the Raw Carrot Soup Enterprise. And what you see pictured here are individuals working in a kitchen making soup, gourmet soups, through the Raw Carrot Social Enterprise Program. And the individuals employed in this program are people on Ontario disabilities. They receive an allowance from the province to pay for their expenses and provide, in replace of a wage, an allowance to meet their needs, but they can also earn beyond that, working part-time. And so MCC works with Raw Carrot, employing people, and the frozen soup, the soup is made and then frozen, and then it's sold either online or through the network of MCC thrift shops here in the province. And this is a fantastic program, allowing people to come together to have employment for people who find it difficult and challenging to find other kinds of employment because of their disability, and allows them to come together in a friendly environment and build relationships and friendships and produce a product which is high quality and is growing in sales through our thrift shops. And MCC supports this program, employing a number of people to make the soup that's sold through Raw Carrot. Treating people fairly, giving people what they earn. Let's go to the next slide. The kind of fasting God calls his people to is to share their food with the hungry. And ever since MCC was founded in 1920, sharing food has been part of MCC's relief work. And the core of that is canned meat. MCC runs a mobile meat canner, which has travels around the U.S. and has been in Canada, has crossed the border in previous years to do meat canning in Leamington and Elmira. And those cans of meat are then used by MCC to give to people who are affected by war or conflict or disaster where there's a need for the provision of food. Interestingly, as the pandemic has kind of taken hold of our lives over these last number of years, the mobile meat canner could not cross the border. And one of the decisions that's been made has been to raise money to provide a permanent canning facility here in Ontario and at MCC's new Hamburg warehouse. As the year goes on, there'll be a meat canning facility put into that warehouse, and we'll be able to do meat canning and can other goods, maybe vegetables and other things, through the year with various groups from our supporting churches. So that's a really positive development. But you see two ladies pictured here, both Cuban. MCC worked with the BIC Church in Cuba just over a year ago to distribute aid across the island. Cuba was badly affected by the pandemic, and its economy continues to be under embargo by the U.S. and other nations. And it's increasingly difficult for Cubans outside of the country to send money back into the country. And of course, for many Cubans, they depend on hospitality and tourism for an income, and the pandemic reduced that level of tourist traffic significantly. So you see Clara Rodriguez on the left and Rafaela Duarte on the right holding canned meat and also an MCC hygiene kit. And MCC worked with the BIC Church in the end of 2021 to distribute aid across the island. Pastor Jose Gonzalez of the BIC Church in Santa Clara said, "We see that what we thought was impossible is possible. We see that we are in the hands of God. Thank you for this help." Let's go to the next slide. MCC runs a Christmas giving program. And one of the options in that little catalog you see online or in paper is the ability to provide a family with some farm animals, maybe some chickens or some pigs or another kind of animal. Well, pictured here is Mary Ilero. She's pictured with her piglets on her farm in Uganda. And she was the recipient of one of those gifts, with a local partner receiving a pig and some piglets. And she and her family were able to use those animals to begin to build some stability in terms of their food supply. Selling some of the animals in their marketplace to generate money, which was then used to buy supplies for their family, but also breeding the animals so that they had more pigs the next year, able to sell more and provide more security for them as a family. And this is part of MCC's program in terms of food sustainability and sovereignty, to give people the resources to feed themselves where they are and to be able to survive and prosper in the situations in which they find themselves. And so feeding people, whether it's in a disaster conflict situation where canned food is appropriate, or in a development situation such as you've seen here with Mary, this is part of MCC's work around the world, helping people, making sure there's food for today, food for tomorrow, and food for all. Let's go to the next slide. Another part of the kind of fasting that God calls us to is to welcome the poor wanderer into your home. And MCC has a rich history of working with refugees and welcoming the needs of refugees. MCC is a sponsorship agreement holder with the federal government, which allows MCC to work with the government in terms of refugees from overseas who've been pre-screened and pre-approved, and work with community groups to sponsor them as they come to Canada. Back in 2015, this family from Syria were connected to a church in London. And that church and a number of other people in that community welcomed them as they moved to Canada and walked with them through the next number of years, helping them settle, become acquainted with culture, getting them provided for as they had the immediate needs of moving to a new place, and celebrating with them as this family became Canadian citizens. And Arla Longhurst, one of the leaders of that group, says that she has benefited enormously from working with this family. She says, "We welcome them into our community, and in return, they have welcomed us into theirs." So it's great to be part of their life and walk with them, welcoming people who've moved to this country and giving them support as they make that adjustment to a new life. Let's go to the next slide. The kind of fasting God calls us to is to give clothes to those who need them. Part of MCC's relief work includes not just the provision of canned food, but also the distribution of handmade blankets, what we call comforters. And at the year ending March of 2022, MCC shipped nearly 40,000 comforters from North America to different parts of the world, including Jordan, Syria, Ukraine, Zambia, Iraq, and here in Canada, as Indigenous communities in the north received relief supplies from MCC as they had to leave some of their communities because of fire or flood. And when families are uprooted from their normal homes, they lack basic necessities, and so comforters, these handmade blankets, become a versatile tool, can act as a bed cover, a room divider, a carpet, a mattress, and even more. And I've got a display table out in the lobby with some literature for that tells you about MCC, but I've put down a comforter as on the table just as the base for that. So you can see an example of what we're talking about here. And pictured here are members from the Machina district in Malawi standing with comforters and other relief supplies they received from MCC after a cyclone in 2019. And their community was badly affected by heavy rain and flooding. And working with the BIC church in that country, MCC was able to provide relief supplies for them. Let's go to the next slide. The kind of fasting God calls the people of Isaiah's day to is not to hide from relatives who need your help. Sometimes agencies like MCC are criticized for focusing their work overseas and ignoring the needs at home. And I can tell you that MCC works here in Ontario in a number of ways, working with Indigenous neighbors, resettled refugees, Low German-speaking newcomers, people living restoratively after incarceration, people living in poverty, and many more. There's a number of active programs here in Ontario. And we also run a network of thrift shops selling gently used secondhand goods, household items, clothing, and other things that generate funds that are then used for MCC's work of relief, development, and peace in the name of Christ. No MCC thrift shop in this part of the province, unfortunately, but maybe if you're in Kitchener-Waterloo or St. Catharines or even in Stouffville, part of the GTA, you'll find an MCC thrift shop. Let's go to the next slide. So what you read, as you read through Isaiah 58, is that we're reminded that the Bible calls us to demonstrate our faith in practical ways. James chapter 1, verse 27 says that pure and genuine religion in the sight of God means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. In Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about the final judgment, and he says, at one point, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you invited me into your home. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the response from the righteous is, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? And Jesus answered, when you did it to the least of my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. And these practical ways of helping people are evidences of the relationship we have with God. They're an outflow of the faith that we have in a God who has first loved us and demonstrated the extent of that love by giving us his son, Jesus. Doing the things that Isaiah speaks of in chapter 58, or the things that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 25, don't in and of themselves bring us salvation, but they are outflows, they are outworkings of the salvation that we have experienced. Salvation, of course, comes by responding in faith to the work and person of Jesus. As Paul puts it to the church in Rome, by declaring with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's the way in which we come through faith. Anabaptist leader Menno Simons wrote, true evangelical faith is of such a nature it cannot lie dormant, but spreads itself out in all kinds of righteousness and fruits of love. So God calls us to take care of those around us. As we think about how we might love God, how we might love our neighbor, these are practical ways of showing that love to both God and neighbor. And having given clear instruction to the people of Isaiah's day, God now describes the outcome of that fast. He says, if you do these things, if you feed the hungry, if you give clothing to those who need them, if you don't hide from relatives who need your help, God promises his blessing. Your salvation will come like the dawn, verse 8. You will be like a well-watered garden, verse 11. God also promises his protection. The glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. But he also promises his presence. When you call, I will answer. I will be here. So God is saying to his people, the benefits of the relationship I have called you into are only going to be yours if you do the things that I call you to, if you live in the ways I have revealed to you, if you do the things I have called you to. And if you do, I will bless you, I will protect you, I will be with you. John Oswalt, writing in the New International Version Application Commentary, writes that religious life needs to be characterized by self-forgetful service, freely given, and no return expected. Such a life, he says, mirrors the life of God. And it's a way of life exemplified by Jesus, who gives up his divine privilege, takes the position of a humble servant, is born of a human being, and humbles himself in obedience to God, his Father, and gives his life on the cross, as we celebrated last weekend. Paul instructs his fellow worker Titus, when writing to him in Titus 3:8, to teach well so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. And such is the life that God has called us to do good to others, to give practical expression to the love that God calls us to display to both God and neighbor. And my prayer is that we might be found to be such a people who are seeking to meet the needs of others, whether they are around the corner or in a different part of the world. And one of the ways we can do that is through the work of MCC. And I'm thankful today to be here to share this work with you and encourage you to continue to extend your interest and your support to MCC as we seek to give evidence of God's love and God's compassion to those who are in need. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the life you've called us to as your people. We thank you that you call us to be men and women who love others as well as love yourself. We thank you, Lord, for the work of Mennonite Central Committee, and we thank you for the part that we can have in it to share your love and compassion with others as we seek to work for peace and justice and respond to basic human needs. We thank you for this church and for its witness here in this community. And I pray that you would continue to bless them, even as they bless others, in the name of Christ. Amen.